Sounds like we can hear everybody just really well. So welcome to Willmar, and welcome to Candiway County. It is an honor for us, and especially me, to have a hearing today in my district of Willmar and Candiway County right here at the Health and Human Service Building. I want to thank Larry Kleindel and the commissioners for allowing us to use this meeting space today for this meeting. I'm very grateful to have a chance for folks to continue this conversation that we started a couple weeks ago regarding the MNLARS system. The MNLARS system is the Minnesota License and Operating, Minnesota Licensing and Registration System. Thank you very much. And it's something you don't think about unless you can't get your license tabs or a plate. And most recently, to bring folks up to speed, the state legislature approved a number of years ago the replacement of the old legacy system that was needing to be replaced. It was launched this year on July 24th, 25th, and as with most rollouts, there's going to be some bumps along the way. And I think myself, certainly, we expected some of those things. As the chair of the Technology and Responsible Government Select Committee that is sitting here, and also along with some other members from the area, we've invited to come along as well today too. We wanted to make sure that we gave the choice and the opportunity for folks in rural Minnesota to have this discussion today. That's kind of continuing what we did in September 11th back in St. Paul when we had a meeting under Chair Torkelson's leadership with the finance of the Transportation Committee. Our committee was basically put together in a way from the speaker to look at customer service when it came to Minnesota residents. And I think that's why we find ourselves here today talking about the customer service aspect of this. And I think that as we have found through many emails that have come in since our website was launched to ask people what their experience has been like, it's been a challenging process. My communication as well as others have been to try to give the agencies that are putting this together the opportunity to know that we're here to help them to get this thing fixed and get this thing on its way. The last thing we want to do is to get in the way of getting the product out in a way that I know that it should be put out. So we're here today to talk about this continuing story. We have a number of people on our testimony list to share their stories today. I wanted to give an opportunity to have certainly the agency was invited to be here. Just as of a couple days ago, I had been visiting with folks from Minute, the commissioner, as well as the lead director of DVS, the Driver Vehicle Services Division, Ms. Donna Olson. They were planning on being here earlier in the week, but I received a letter from the governor that said his staff will not be out here today. Didn't feel it was necessary to send them out here, and it's disappointing because as of September 11th, we had a lot of unanswered questions, and I think the need was to try to get more answers, but also 2 weeks later, it would have given them an opportunity to tell us what has helped and what's improved in the last 2 weeks. Because I think in an IT rollout, 2 weeks is a lot of time to help get a lot of the glitches fixed. We might be able to answer some of those today, and maybe the deputy registrars will be able to bring us some updates as to what has happened, and we're hoping to maybe get some good news there. So I think I just wanted to, you know, make sure that that's why we're here today, and why only 2 weeks afterwards? Well, part of it, too, is we don't know if the legislature will be funded as of October 1st. So we wanted to get this in before the end of this month, so we had a chance to do all we could to make sure that the voices are heard and brought back to the agencies that will continue to work on this project. So with that, I think I'm going to open it up to maybe Chair Torkelson for any comments, and then I think we're going to get started with the meeting.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks for inviting me to attend your committee. I'm Paul Torkelson. I serve as chair of the House Transportation Finance Committee, and as Representative Baker mentioned, we did have a hearing just a couple of weeks ago, but that was in St. Paul. 2 weeks, as you mentioned, 2 weeks is a long time in this rollout. It's been very frustrating, frankly, that we have been unable to service our constituents the way they deserve to be served. We have not been able to accommodate the needs of deputy registrars in order for them to do the job that they are paid to do and the way they would like to do it, because this computogram just is not working the way it should be. We didn't expect it to roll out perfectly, but we did expect it to roll out in fairly complete form and expected it to get up and running in a fairly short order. This not only has affected folks that need a tab or a license plate or a title, it's also dramatically affected people that sell vehicles. They've been unable to get lien cards and proper titles in order to perfect those sales, and this is causing, has a ripple effect not only for the constituents but for these business people and for the economy of the state of Minnesota. We know full well that there is revenue that should be coming into the state that is not coming into the state because of the delays that have been created by this program. And frankly, this problematic rollout reflects on all of us that are involved with state government. It's not just a problem for the governor. It's not just a problem for his department. It's a problem for everybody, including the legislature. And we intend to try to do our best, number one, to get this program working the way it should work. We've been trying to put the pressure on the bureaucracy to get things moving in the right direction. Some progress has been made, and I should acknowledge that. Not everything is broken, but there are enough things that are causing problems that we feel it's necessary to keep on pushing. And we're here today to listen and learn more about just how it is working. We know that every deputy registrar office across the state has a little bit of a different personality depending on what kind of work they do the most of. In my home county, where my farm is in Watonwan County, they don't do much with dealers because there's not a new car dealer in the city. But other registrars have got lots of new car dealers and lots of those issues that come up. Offices vary in size. But at the bottom line, the most important thing is that we take care of our citizens and give them the service they need. I know that's what the deputy registrars want to do. That's what we want to do, and we're hoping that this hearing, along with the hearing we had 2 weeks ago, will highlight the issues. We'll learn a little more about exactly some of the details of what is causing problems, and we will get this information in spite of the fact that the governor instructed his people to stay in St. Paul. We will get this information back to the Capitol and make sure that the right people hear about the concerns that come up today. This is an issue for the entire state, and I look forward to continuing to work on it. The other big question is what's going to happen with our driver's license system. I asked that question at the end of our last hearing, and the basic answer I got was that, well, we've learned so much from this rollout that we're sure that the driver's license system will roll out smoothly. Well, if they've learned so much, why isn't this system working today? I'm really having serious reservations about the rollout of the driver's license system, in part because we all know we're headed for Real ID, which is a good thing. We want to get that system on track so that the citizens of Minnesota that want to get a Real ID so they can get on a plane or get into a military base can get it once they become available. But at that point, this system has to work smoothly because we believe there will be a rush of folks that are coming forward to get those Real IDs because they're going to want them as soon as they're available. So we're trying to keep the heat on, but we're here mostly today to listen. So thank you, Mr. Chair, and I look forward to hearing from these folks in the audience.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One more thing I was going to do, I was going to turn it over to Andrew Lee to give us an update on sort of the financial background of the program and how we got here. The reason I'm asking him to give us just a little update of this is because the Select Committee on, you know, responsive government technology hasn't heard the background like I have as I also sit on transportation finance. So I wanted to give our committee a brief update on that, but before even doing that, I wanted to my committee that has yet to meet this summer, I wanted to apologize because we have been working actually behind the scenes to get meetings set up around Rochester and at some of the colleges, and my committee administrator, Gavin Hansen, sitting next to me on my right, we were just getting ready to start launching some summer, well, actually some fall dates. We haven't done that yet, and then this came on us about 30 days ago, and we were asked to put a focus on this, and then this meeting came up fairly quickly, again, because of the looming deadline of October 1st. So to my steering committee, more of them would have been here had I given them more notice. And so we plan on saving the dates for some of our other meetings coming up down the road. So to my members on that steering committee, I want to really say thank you for your patience and understanding. Representative Nelson Hansen, did you have a question?
Yes, and Mr. Chair, just on behalf of Representative Becker Finn and I, we know that these are unique times with the budget and October 1st, so we will not be taking per diem or mileage for the trip. We think it's important to be here and to focus on problem solving and the select committee. We want to be trying to make sure we're hearing from folks, and we did have a couple of members on the DFL side that were unable to make it, but we wanted to make sure we were here, and we won't be taking any state dollars.
Thank you very much. And if there's other members on the committee that want to have their per diems, I do have the sheet here too, but we appreciate those comments, Representative. So with that, Mr. Lee, would you please give us our committee kind of a background of MNLARS and the budget and how we're here today?
Certainly, Mr. Chair and members, my name is Andrew Lee from House Fiscal Staff. I'll start with just an overview of how the Department of Driver and Vehicle Services works in terms of its funding relationship with the state. Unlike many units of government, Driver and Vehicle Services is funded based off of a fee-based revenue. So rather than getting a direct appropriation from the state general fund, in a sense, Driver and Vehicle Services is supposed to be sort of a self-funding agency where the fees that are collected with every transaction of tabs or license transactions goes into special revenue funds for both the deputy registrars and for driver and vehicle services, and that is then reappropriated back to driver and vehicle services, so essentially that's how it's funded. In the past, when driver and vehicle services have needed to increase its programming and staffing, it's used those specific special revenue funds to pay for those increases when the legislature has granted that. Specific to MNLARS, in order to implement such a large IT project, back in 2008, the legislature authorized a $1.75 fee on top of the regular driver and vehicle services fees for every transaction to pay for the new IT project. That was implemented back in the 2008 legislative session, and I believe members have this sheet that shows a history of the revenues and spending for MNLARS starting in fiscal year 2019 and continuing on to fiscal year 2018. And just a note on state fiscal years that the fiscal year starts the July 1st of the previous year. So right now we're in fiscal year 2018. So this shows the history. So originally the fee was levied at $1.75, which generated about $13 to $15 million a year. That fee was set to expire in fiscal 2011, or during the 2011 session. So at the time the legislature continued the fee but reduced it to a dollar, and so then that fee revenue went down to about $10 million in fee revenue generation a year for the MNLARS project. And then, again, that fee was set to expire at the end of fiscal 2016, and it did. So after that, the department this year, and as part of the governor's recommendation, asked for a $8 million, a fee that would generate about $8 million a year, so essentially to reestablish the dollar fee. The legislature did not grant that. However, spent out of the existing balances for the special revenue accounts for driver and vehicle services, $8 million a year. So if you look on your spreadsheet, you see towards the bottom it says transfer in, and you see in fiscal 18 that $8 million a year. And that's supposed to essentially be the operating for the system when it's up and running. So the sort of the big number history of MNLARS is that the cumulative revenue that's generated as of the end of fiscal 2017 is about just shy of $100 million, about $98 million. And the spending is just shy of $80 million, about $78 million. So that's sort of the history of financing MNLARS.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Members, any questions?
Yes.
Mr. Lee?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hansen.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. So the Mr. Lee, the $8 million, that was a one-time appropriation that's not ongoing. It's so the next legislature would have to appropriate, if it was going to continue, you'd have to take action to appropriate one-time appropriation?
Mr. Lee.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, that's correct. It's $8 million, and I should say a year for the next biennium. So it's $8 million in fiscal 18, $8 million in fiscal 19, so $16 million over the biennium. That is essentially what's projected to be essentially left in the special revenue funds for the biennium. So after in the next budget session in 2019, there'd be a question of whether or not there'd be enough balances in the special revenue funds to continue that level of funding, and if that level of funding were to be continued, whether, you know, if there wasn't sufficient in the money in the special revenue funds, then the legislature could either impose a fee or use general fund or some other funding mechanism to pay for that. But yes, the $8 million is for 2 years, $8 million apiece, and it is one time.
Mr. Representative Hansen?
So, thank you, Mr. Chair. So now money is coming out, but money is not going in because the legislature did not renew the $1 fee.
Mr. Lee.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. There is the fee that's charged on all things, on all transactions, expired in 2017. There's some other residual money that generates about $2 million a year that is still dedicated to Minlars, but it's not at the scale of the former fee.
Thanks.
All right. Any further questions, members? Hearing none. Let's go ahead and start calling our testifiers up to the table. First up, we're going to hear from some deputy registrars, Deb Mickle and Deb Folkrest. If you guys could come forward, please, and introduce yourself for the record, what you do, and go ahead with your testimony whenever you're ready. And thank you so much for being here today.
Mr. Chair and committee members, thank you very much for coming out to Kandi Ohi County to hear us. I am Deb Mickle. I am the supervisor of Kandi Ohi County's License Bureau. I've been there 25 years, supervisor for 19 of those.
I'm Deborah Falkers. I am from Randall County, Deputy 76 in Olivia. I am the supervisor in that office, and I have worked there for 30 years.
Thank you.
I think we're here today. One of the things that I believe is the first thing towards putting things right is to recognize what's wrong. And there are things that are still wrong with the system. We have been told that there have been fixes, but some of those things are still not working. For example, I had a customer in last week that needed to have a commercial truck changed to a farm truck. And the system, we were told, should be able to do those types of conversions now, but it did not calculate it correctly, and we were not able to finish his transaction. Also, I had a customer in last week with a 2015 Chevy Silverado pickup. He had forgot, he did not get his renewal notice and came in to buy his tabs. The system calculated his tab renewal at $51. Now, anybody here who knows anything about cars or 2015 Chevy Silverado knows that guy got a heck of a deal because they are much more than that. We called St. Paul when we couldn't get it to calculate correctly and were told to tell him it's his lucky day. We also had a customer in that his personalized plate broke and he needed a duplicate set. Those duplicate personalized plates are $14 plus a $10 filing fee calculates to $24. When we hit the process button, it came to $11. And we, multiple ones of us in my office tried it on our computers and it kept doing the same thing again. Called St. Paul, waited on hold for a very long time, told them what was happening and said, tell him it's his lucky day. So, we are now doing transactions that we know are wrong, and we're collecting the wrong amount of fees. I feel like that's a real disservice to our public. What is going to happen in the future? We told this gentleman, be prepared to get a letter saying you owe more money, because I'm certain that at somewhere along the line, they're going to figure out he did not pay the correct amount of fees. And is that going to come back to me for charging that person, taking his money incorrectly for a system that does not work? I'm most concerned for our customers, for our car dealers, for our customers that come in, our farmers who we can't calculate farm plates correctly. I want to be able to service them. That's our main goal. That's all we're asking. We want a system to work so we can serve the public. One of the things that has happened through this, too, that has been a cost to my employer, since the system came out, we went to training April 26th, and since that time, my staff has put in 134 documented hours of overtime, learning the system, training on the system, and having to work overtime because during the day, the system takes so long to do a transaction, we do not have time to do our dealer work. Speaking of which, we have now limited our dealers to doing 3 transactions at a time in line so as not to back it up too long. And if they have more than that, they have to do the drop and pick up system. Now, they've been so good. I cannot say that none of them have been mad about that. They've been very supportive. But it does make an extra trip for them. Some of them are 20 to 30 miles out of town. And when they come into town, they have to go back home and come back and make another trip to pick up their transactions. So it's costing them money. It's costed my county the overtime, and I didn't even include my overtime because I'm salaried and I don't get paid for my overtime, but I have kept track. And since April 26th, I have put in 112 hours of overtime myself personally. And I have some friends who can testify I missed Wednesday golf quite often. But the way I golf, that's probably not so bad. One of the things that it's done is our customers come in. They're in a hurry. They don't want to stand there 20 minutes. Some of them come on their noon hours to get a title transferred, and they have to get back to work. Some of them stop in on their way to work in the morning or on their way home to pick up their child from daycare, and they're on a deadline. I'm afraid that one of the things that's going to happen if this continues is they're going to go to the mail-in and to the online renewal, and we are going to lose revenue, and we are going to lose business. We are looking at it with my administrator and my the custodians in our building trying to figure out a way to change our office to be set up a little better for the quick in and out transactions, but that means new construction and new office space, and that's a cost to our county as well. I think that kind of wraps up the few transactions that I wrote down that are not working. We are told workarounds are coming and things will work eventually, but eventually could be too late for some people. We have a customer whose bank is going to charge him more interest because they have not received their lien card. So they're going to charge him a bigger percentage on his interest rate because they have not received their lien card yet. I don't know. I feel this is a real disservice to my customers, and I don't know where do we go from here. I think the biggest thing we need to look at now, we know the system's here, we know we have to use it, but where do we go from here? As a deputy registrar office, we're retraining, we're rereading all of the new documents that come out for us. I am blessed with a dedicated, loyal staff, and they don't even put in all their overtime. That's how dedicated they are. We appreciate that you are here listening to us and willing to work with us to help us find solutions to this system. I had a statement for DDS, but they didn't show up. So I'll just, for the record, tell them what DDS can do is be our partner, which is what they say they are. Be our partner, listen, hear, and act. And the public, the dealers that are here, be patient with us. We are trying our hardest to give you the best service we can. And I want to thank you all for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Mickel. In fact, Representative Riddle, do you have a question for?
Thank you. How's that?
Now he probably forgot his question.
Ma'am, I was just wondering, how many unlucky days are there? Are there folks who are paying more than they should?
Ms. Yes. Mickel. Yes, there are also unlucky people who, okay, here's an example. I had a customer in. He bought a Y truck. This was the first week the system came out, so we know how bad that was. He needed to change it over to the farm class. We could not do that, but he was hauling his kidney beans, edible beans, to Wisconsin and could not drive. This was before we were allowed to give them permits across the state line on expired plates. He ended up paying the full Y, the Y class is commercial class. I'm sorry. I'm using deputy registrar jargon. And he ended up paying the full commercial plate and had to go online and get a DOT number, which farmers are not required to do, and pay for that in order to haul his product. Just one example.
Mr. Senator Riddle.
And just picking an example out there, let's just say that somebody had a year-old Jeep Cherokee. Would $500 be about right for the license?
Right around that, I would say, yeah.
Okay, well.
Four or five.
Care of that.
Not going to buy
not
that.
Not your lucky day.
Yeah, well, you know.
Not your lucky day.
What's the average, if someone gets license plates, new plates, not tabs,
mm-hmm.
I ran into that this summer where my wife got a new car, and it took 3 months to get plates. Are you running into that?
Ms. Mickle.
It sounds to me like probably she was ordering special plates?
Yeah.
The normal time, turnaround time for that had been about 45 to 60 days. You get a 60-day permit. I think they're taking a little longer than that even because we did have to issue several extensions on 60-day permit.
Okay, thank you.
And maybe just a question, too, for Mr. Lee. When the state doesn't collect the dollars, what fund doesn't get funded for this if they are getting a lot of lucky days? I just want to know, where in the state of Minnesota are we not getting money, and what is it used for?
Mr. Chair and members, for the registration tax or tab fees, that would be to the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund. So that would be state trunk highways, county state aid, municipal state aid streets, so essentially all the road funds.
Okay. Thank you very much. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not going to tempt fate with the microphone. To the testifier, when you made the phone call in and it sounds like it was St. Patrick's Day with all that luck flowing, who made the decision for you to pass on that it was, quote unquote, their lucky day?
Ms. Nicole.
Thank you, Chair. When we call St. Paul, we sometimes get what's called a PIC, public information call. Usually they transfer us to what is called a deputy liaison, which is who I was speaking to at that time, and that is who gave us that information.
Okay. Representative Nash?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just want to make sure that I understood that was an official chain that was created and gave you the cover that you'd expressed concern about. One of the things that I've been most interested in is in talking to the many deputy registrars that I have is the amount of overtime that you have put in. And you said you put in 134 hours for employees. Can you calculate the cost roughly of what that actually has been?
Yeah, I actually have it here, $3,800.
$3,800. And what period of time, Mr. Chair? Thank you. Mm-hmm. What period of time has that been over?
Ms. Mickle.
Mr. Chair, that is from April 26th. Through I didn't have September's available, so it was through the end of August.
Mr.
And also, just as a side note, we have also recently hired a part-time person to try to help pick up some of that in our office, so that also calculates into about $17,000 more a year to hire a part-time person to help us handle the load of work.
Representative Nash?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Last question. We have been hearing that there have been more transactions than ever before. And my question is, the number of transactions that I've been hearing are being conducted are at an all-time low because time is, you're required to do these over a longer period of time. You can't get as many done as you can. What has been the financial impact, top-line revenue for your office? And if you don't have this, maybe you can get it to us afterwards, but So top line revenue, the number of receipts that you get every day, has that been going down? Because intuitively it seems if you can't get as many transactions done, your top line revenue is going to fall and you get a percentage or a flat fee off of each transaction. That has to be falling as well.
Ms. Mickle?
Mr. Chair, I do not have those numbers off the top of my head. I can tell you that I'm not so certain that our transaction numbers have fallen because we've been doing the overtime to get the dealer work done after hours so that we can service our general public during the day. However, I am anticipating that this, in anticipation of the online renewals, that's surely to come with the not being able to serve the public timely, that is going to fall. And I will tell you that when we did our budget for this year, we did the bottom line for my budget is almost half of what it was last year.
And Mr. Chair, just a quick follow-up.
Representative Nash.
So the amount that you get paid off of each transaction, is that keeping up with the amount you're expending in overtime?
No, sir.
Ms.
Mickle. No, sir, it is not.
So thank you.
All right. We are going to get to you, too, Ms. Volkrest. Two questions. Representative Becker Flynn has got a question. And, in fact, if we could do that before it gets to her. Again, Andrew Lee, there was a question from Mr. Nash regarding revenues. Can you give us an idea for the first couple of months of this fiscal year where the state is at with revenues as compared to prior years when it comes to these offices?
Mr. Chair and members, I do have a rough understanding of the of essentially how much would be the amount of revenues less that the state is collecting over a comparable time period. House fiscal staff pulled out from the state accounting system the amount of fee revenue that's going into vehicle services. For the period that goes from July 1st to September 11th, for fiscal 2016, 17, and 18. So 18 would be the period including the part of the Minlar's rollout. For 16, it was about $4.5 million over that time period in fee revenue to the state. For fiscal 17, it was about $4.6 million. And then for the most recent fiscal year, it was about $3.6 million. So about a million less over the same time period. There's a little bit of overlap between the old system and the new system in that most recent time period, but just as one of the sense of one of the accounts that comes out from these transactions, it's about a million less in terms of the impact of the Trunk Highway Fund and other state operating funds. We don't have that monthly number yet, but I'll be following up on that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Lee. I do know that at the September 11th hearing, the agency was there and reported the number of transactions were actually up significantly. But we're hearing today that the dollars are much lower for the first few months. So just thank you for that update. Representative Becker Flynn, then we're going to move on to our next testifier. So, Representative.
Yep, Becker Flynn. Thank
Becker
you.
Becker Flynn, sorry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. First to the testifier, I just want to thank you for your dedication to wanting to make sure things are accurate. That's really huge, and it sounds like you've been doing this work for a long time, and you know, going to renew your plates or anything is not anybody's favorite task to do, but it sounds like, the folks here in Kandy, Ojai County have some good people, there to help them. And so I want to acknowledge that, you know, you said at the beginning, you know, we're at the point, you know, or maybe folks aren't acknowledging that there's a problem, and I can tell you, everybody that I talk to, everybody acknowledges that this is a problem, and I think Chair Torkelson, you know, spoke to that too. This really reflects poorly on all of us. Even, you know, I wasn't here in 2008 when this whole system, this whole change was decided on, but ultimately, you know, we're all very concerned. You know, I think, you know, whichever party or when you started, it's there's clearly a problem. And I'm really focused on the solution. I think clearly there is a problem. We need to fix it. And so I'm wondering if you could talk just a little bit about, you know, instead of us telling you how we think it should be fixed, could you share a little bit about what would help you right now? Is it funds? Is it, you know, for staff? Is it, you know, what is something that we could do that would help you right now get through this?
Ms. Mickle.
Mr. Chair, I think one of the things would just be to get consistent, clear answers when we call down with a problem. Possibly they need some more Tris staff that can answer those questions for us. And to get them timely, we had visiting with a different deputy registrar. They had emailed to St. Paul on September 9th. They were having an issue with a base value, and they got an answer on September 14th. So it took 5 days to get back to them. In that 5 days, the issue they're having with the base value for that particular dealer, that dealer could have accrued a late fee. So just more accurate, timely answers to our questions and fixes.
Thank you. All right. Our next testifier then, Ms. Deb Folkhurst. Go ahead and with your story. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I'm here just to comment on some of the same issues that Deb had talked about also, and I just wanted you to be aware of every day there is a new situation that comes in the door that we're not sure of how to handle. We do wind up calling down to the state, and we do a lot of times get the same answer as far as go with what the computer says. Whatever comes up for the amount, charge that to the customer, whether you know it's right or not, just go with that amount. And so having been in this business for a long time, when you know that the fees aren't right, it's kind of hard to process things when you know they're not right, but you're told to do that, and not sure how that's going to result in the end game of all of this. Another thing I wanted you to be aware of is sometimes when we do have the truck drivers come in, and they like to change their classification of plates during the year depending on what they're hauling and who they're hauling for. We do have gentlemen that have the commercial plates on, and during the harvest season they change to the farm class because they're just hauling locally for the sugar beets, that type of thing. I was told down at the state, you know, if we can't do that type of transaction, just have them renew that commercial plate and pay the extra fees. But what they have to be aware of that sometimes in the fall they don't have a commercial driver for those trucks. And if you have a Y plate, a commercial plate on those trucks, and you do not have a CDL driver's license, you can also have some issues in that way. So I don't feel right that they should have to have a commercial plate on a truck that they're not going to have a CDL driver haul for in the fall. So that's just a few of the issues and concerns. I do feel in some ways that we've taken away some of the options for our customers with some of the options and things that we've done for them before, and one of those being the expedited titles. I know not everybody needs an expedited title. That title does not need to be them to them right away, but in some situations it's very important that they do have those titles. And now that we cannot offer that as a service, it's a hardship for some of them. Thank you.
Thank you. In fact, I'm going to read something from a deputy registrar that actually submitted this to the website, and I want to ask you, because it's actually part of what Representative Becker Finn had mentioned about solutions, and this is maybe something that I should ask you if you think this makes sense. This is from the website, from a deputy registrar employee. It doesn't say where. Minlars is barely functional. Now the promised new version from August that was pushed into September is delayed once again. The user experience is terrible. They did not use the same coding throughout. As a result, records changing unexpectedly. The user interface is slow and not intuitive. When issuing a title, entering a plate, or updating inventory, there is no OK button to allow you to proceed. It just goes on, and even if you made a mistake or had an error, you couldn't correct it because it just went out. It didn't give you the chance to look at it before you hit the return or the OK button. So I think that also he had mentioned, this person here had mentioned, there are also no search functions where if you want to search for a plate or search for something that's in the system somewhere, you can't do that. Would a couple of those components help you in your office? Is that the kind of thing, because they're not here to defend this, we need to record it like this so that they hear this firsthand. So this is just from one coworker of yours, mm-hmm. colleague. Would that help the situation?
Yes. In the old system we had, it was a transaction lookup. And we utilized that a lot because if we could look at what the customer had done last year. Okay, last year you were in, you bought this truck, you paid these fees, you paid license at, say, 80,000 through November, you know, had all that information, and, you know, if you knew, we knew that's what they had done last year and we were going to proceed, we could do the same process again. We've had some access to that, but my understanding that that access is going to go away. So we have to admit that a lot of times our customers do not always come in with their paperwork, so we have to rely on us searching our current system or an old system, trying to find out what they did before so that we can move forward. And that's how that works.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you could clarify what you just said there. Are you, and I may have misunderstood, so this is me putting words into your mouth, so I apologize if that's the case, but are you using the old system as a backup, is what you were saying?
One portion. One portion is called the transaction lookup that is on our e-support, and that is also the system that we are currently doing our driver's license on, and they did put that one little button back on us, on there for us for a few months now to help with the transactions. My understanding that it's going to go away.
Okay, thank you.
And so for members too, when you hear the e-support system, that's the current system that they were on before this all came out. The e-system is, e-support is what is currently up for the driver's side. So thank you for that clarification. All right. Testifiers, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Next up is our auto dealers. If you could come forward and sign up. And also, if other folks want to testify today that are not on the list, Ashley up here has a clipboard. If you want to, just raise your hand if you want her to make sure you get on the name on the list today. We want to make sure we hear everybody today during the course of our hearing. We're hoping to be done between 2:30 and 3 o'clock today. We do have a hard stop at 3 o'clock so that the folks can get back to Minneapolis and not pay the extra overtime fee for the van. So we want to make sure Gavin gets it back or he'll be in trouble because we have no money. Because we're not charging enough, right? Okay. Ladies, thank you for coming, and if you could please give us your name and your position, and please go ahead.
Certainly, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Amber Backus, and I'm the Vice President of Public Affairs with the Minnesota Automobile Dealers Association, here representing the 374 new car, truck, and RV dealers in the state of Minnesota. I did come before the Transportation Finance Committee on September 11th, so I won't reiterate what I said then, except to say the calls to our office from dealers with frustrations about the Minlar system have not stopped. I almost feel like they've increased since we were last gathered. And just quickly, I'll run through the most common complaints. The first is still being charged that $2 late fee for title applications that were submitted to deputy registrars on time but didn't begin to be processed within the 10-day statutory window. And while $2 on its own isn't much, some dealerships have been charged for every sale, new or used, they've done and tried to title since Minlar's went live on July 24th. So if that's true of all dealerships in the state, collectively that's hundreds of thousands of dollars in erroneous late fees that dealers have paid over the past 10 weeks since Minlar's went live. The second is not receiving the duplicate titles ordered on vehicles that a customer brought as a trade-in. Again, not having proof of ownership in a timely manner deters dealers from being able to move this inventory down the road to either another customer, an auction house, a salvage yard. The third is not being able to process any specialty plates, and Ms. Potter, who's with me, is going to speak to that more directly. But lastly and most importantly is the utter lack of communication from the agency to our dealer members. They're not hearing from the agency about the limitations of Minlar's. They're not getting information on the proper protocol to follow when confronted with the challenge, and they're not really getting concrete timelines for resolution. And the issue of not receiving duplicate titles perfectly highlights this communication problem. Since the last hearing, a dealer in Sauk Center was told to mail in any duplicate title applications to the state, and they did that. They were then told that mail received in St. Paul has yet to be opened because there's not enough agency staff to take care of that while addressing the other online issues. So they then asked if they should resubmit the duplicate title applications an alternate way, and they were admonished with, well, you can't just keep applying for these and sending in applications. So they're unsure about what to do. Another dealer with the issue was told that the duplicate titles had printed, but they were sent to the previous owner who brought the trade-in in, and that dealership should follow up with all the customers to try to get those folks to come back to the dealership with the titles. Then a day later, the agency called back and said, no, never mind. We will reissue the duplicate titles for you. So they thought they were finally being processed, only to be told last week by their deputy that no duplicate titles are being printed. There's another malfunction in the system. So again, they're waiting on those pieces of information that they have, some of them have been requested since mid-July. So it's really frustrating for our dealers not to know what to believe, who's saying the right thing, what's really going to happen. And unfortunately, then, the customers think it's the dealer's fault since the dealer's the face of the transaction. And I think that's maybe what's most frustrating for everybody is that the dealers and the deputies are the forward-facing people, the consumers of the state of Minnesota. And they're not getting accurate information from dealers and deputies, which isn't a good way for our dealers and the deputies to keep customers going forward. And I think that's probably what's most egregious about all of this. So our request, at a minimum, again, is just a more formal communication process from the agency to dealers that is upfront in communicating the deficiencies of the Minlar system and consistent in telling dealers how to address the shortcomings. And I was especially chagrined to see in the letter that the governor sent you that a process has been created to review dealer requests for late funds, and that has not been communicated to us. So we'd love to know more about that. And with that, I'll turn it over to Ms. Potter, who can speak more specifically to some of the day-to-day issues.
Thank you. Go ahead. Please introduce yourself for the record.
Hi, my name is Ann Potter, and I represent Ryan Chevrolet Cadillac and Ryan Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram of Buffalo. I've been a controller for them for 30 years and have been a total of 40 years in dealership environment. I'm old. I have seen a lot and experienced just about everything dealerships have to go through. I started with paper ledger books and pencils and have gone through 8 computer conversions. With each conversion, there have been unique and frustrating challenges, but each time we had implementation teams on site to talk with programmers and conversion specialists to resolve our issues and make the whole system work for us within a short period of time. Yes, we had lingering issues, but nothing to deter our daily workflow, and certainly not anything that impeded our work for whole departments for months on end. If we would have, I would have been out of a job. We actually did have one of the conversions to a vendor fail. 15 years ago, we chose a vendor that promised to cut our costs significantly while providing full functionality for all departments. Our letter of termination in June of 2002 was sent due to lack of response by phone, email, fax, and mail to resolve our issues. By luck or by experience, I was taught early on to have a plan B or a redundancy plan or more for the what-ifs that can happen. I did have a plan B. For 45 days from the install date, we ran dual books. We had posted into our old system each and every transaction, parts invoices, service invoices, vendor invoices, vehicle invoices, car deals, checks, and payrolls. I wanted the new system to work very desperately because the 11 to 12 hour days and 6 days a week were very taxing and exhausting for myself and my office. But we did what had to be done, and thankfully so. The system had huge flaws. It didn't save all the transactions. It changed the accounting from what was on the repair order work to some numbers that could never even be traced. It allowed for anyone to go in the system after the fact and change the original information affecting the integrity of the system. It couldn't be trusted for accurate information. We pulled the plug, went on with our lives on our old system, and learned our lesson. The reason I offer this story is that we, as well as all of the other hundreds of Minnesota auto dealers, are experiencing extreme frustration with MLARs. While the simple transactions are moving along faster than a snail but less than a tortoise, auto dealers can at least now title new and used vehicles, the easy work. We are unable to transfer specialty plates because the software is still not available to the deputy registrars to perform those transactions. An example I have is that we currently have 32 personalized and other specialty plates that cannot be transferred. For my sample, I selected 6 of them that total over $15,600 of unpaid taxes and license fees to the state of Minnesota going back to July 27th. We're an average-sized dealership, so our number would be a good average for all sizes of dealerships, I would guess. So take the 94 Chevrolet dealers times the 15,000. You get over $1.4 million in unpaid revenues to Minnesota. But there are also Chrysler dealers and Ford dealers and other GM dealers and foreign make and used car lots that are affected. So how much could it be? $2 million, $3 million, $4 million? Our workaround for specialty plates is we simply just don't offer it anymore to our customers. We're telling them that once the MLAR system is completely functional, they can take their plates into the DM to transfer onto their new vehicle. This, of course, only works if they kept that vehicle and didn't trade that into us. Another big revenue loss for the state of Minnesota. We have had four banks already call us looking for the lien cards. It's caused an extreme burden for us and the banks to administer and follow up on. I've done more research and contacted other auto dealers and a bus dealer, and here are the concerns they voiced to me. I spoke to a dealer on the I-94 corridor. They're experiencing the same issue. She provided me with their statistics of 22 titles for specialty plates totaling $27,000 that cannot be processed for lack of software. I spoke to a dealer on the Highway 7 corridor. They're having to move the dealership titling work to another less stressed and less busy registrar because their easy work is taking 10 to 14 days to complete due to the high volume of the registrar, walk-in traffic, and the extra time each transaction now takes to perform. They've also discontinued the practice of transferring specialty plates for customers and are just offering regular plates at this time. His estimate is that the state probably is not getting $3,000 to $5,000 per month on specialty plates based on their volume. Here are a few comments from other dealers in the southwestern region from Renville, Brown, and Redwood counties. One dealer has four specialty plates outstanding right now that total $5,900. They're continually having issues with lease vehicle titling. And on the MLAR's website, we still do not have the capability of printing from the search page that is needed for title proof for files. A strange issue came up with a customer who had been the sole owner of a vehicle since 2005. When they did a lookup, several owners showed up during that period of time, which is incorrect. So she has a concern about the accuracy of the system. They are incurring lots of late fees, even though there's not one thing they could have done differently to prevent it. And they're absorbing all the late fees. Another dealer said it takes so long now to process transaction. They're also incurring many late fees. The base value from the old system to the new system is incorrect and can't be fixed. And the base value is too high on a new system and the customer is being overcharged. They have been told for specialized plates, MLARS is behind 75 days on the old system and 40 days now on the new system, and they're very frustrated. I spoke to my husband, who's a controller of Hoagland Bus Company in Monticello. They offer a laundry list of problems that I won't get into, but the biggest problem is that they cannot get school bus plates. He shared that they cannot transfer any MSO's titles that require SB school bus plates. This would apply to most any bus contractor, roughly 40% of his business. School districts that own and run their own routes use TE plates, tax exempt, and it wouldn't apply to them, only contractors. Get ready. They have 63 outstanding titles, which now total $200,000 and counting. While his company can't get SB plates, a dealer who is also a contractor was able to take them to their local deputy registrar and get the SB plates. How does that happen, and where's the consistency? When he emailed dvs.dealerquestions@state.mn.us, supposedly an email to get questions answered about the timeline for processing SB plates, they emailed back asking, what is an SB plate? Yes, that answered that question, but created another one. Who knows what is actually going on at the state? 10 weeks into MLARS, we are frustrated. First of all, it's affecting our customers and preventing them from getting a first-class experience in our dealerships from beginning to end. We cannot provide that fully with limited software functionality. We as dealers work hard and do what is needed to provide the best customer service we can provide. Unfortunately, the experience we are having with the poor MLARS rollout has adversely affected our customers' perception of us being able to provide some basic services. That is the most important point for us, customer satisfaction. Our manufacturers base the payments and allocation of vehicle inventory they provide to us on customer satisfaction. And when that suffers, so does the pricing and choices we can offer Minnesota consumers. This does not even address the issue of ownership from a legal standpoint. Well, what would happen if a vehicle is involved in an accident and the title has not been transferred for an extended period of time? Who is the owner of that vehicle? I don't know the answer to that question, but I'm sure attorneys in the court would need to be involved to figure that out. Now, just imagine if that vehicle is a contractor-owned school bus with your children on board. Secondly, and probably most important to the budget of the state of Minnesota, is the amount of funds being withheld from the state coffers. Because there just simply isn't a way with the current software to remit the money and process those outstanding transactions for specialty plates. How much interest could have been accrued on these millions of dollars? Enough to pay for a complete system that works? When you traded in your last car that's 15 years old and bought your new vehicle, did you get the body first? Did the tires come about 30 days later? How about the engine? Will that be coming before the snow flies? You simply wouldn't put up with it. I pose to you this question. How is your customer satisfaction meter running now? There's still a lot of work that needs to be done to bring us back to the basic service we had before MLARS. We need it done swiftly and with the most regard for data integrity. Thank you for your time.
We have a question. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let's do it this way. Thank you, Mr. Chair. To Ms. Backus, I just want to make sure I understand this. You have dealers that have taken things in trade that they cannot get rid of, move on, I believe you said down the road. That was a good twist of the word. But so what is the approximate value? And I'm sure that it'd be approximate, but what are we looking at? Because they don't make money if they can't sell them, and yet they have the carrying cost of those. What is it doing to the dealers? Because I'm sure that you and I have spoken, it's a huge concern. What is that rough value, or could you maybe get it for us later?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nash, I'd probably need to get that to you later. It'd be hard to say, because again, the value of the vehicles varies so much in terms of what people are bringing for trade in. I know with regard to vehicles that wouldn't have another customer even to salvage, they're just accumulating those on their lots because the companies won't take them without proof of title, which would make sense if you're going to totally get rid of a vehicle. So that would be the lower end. But then, like I said, you do have cars that are hot on the market that could find a buyer at auction that you're just sitting on. So for some dealerships, that can end up being tens of thousands of dollars. I don't know if Ms. Potter has a sense of...
I don't really have a full value either without doing some research.
But we'd be happy to follow up.
Representative Nash.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sure dealers are also putting in a large amount of overtime. Is that true in how to handle all it back and forth with the registrar that they use? And are you keeping track of that? Have you seen at Ryan how much overtime is being spent just to get the same amount of paperwork done that previously would have been way faster?
Ms. Potter.
Thank you. Personally, I think, and as they stated earlier, the bulk of it is on the deputy registrars for the processing time. We still do things in the same manner. We get a title application from a car deal. We put it together. We take it down there, and then we wait to hear from them. So I think our overtime is very minimal.
And again, Mr. Chair and Representative Nash, I think it does vary by dealership. You heard last hearing that some of the titling folks were putting in extra hours. I think it depends on the volume of transactions and the complexity of those as well.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Backus, we know we have dealers in this state that specialize in used cars that they bring in from out of state. I heard some time ago that was not going very well. Got any new information, and are they able to get those vehicles titled into Minnesota and be able to sell them?
Mr. Chair, Representative Torkelson, I would have to follow up on that as well. I've heard that some of that has improved, but I can't speak to you definitively on that.
I'd appreciate a follow-up. Thank you. Yep.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe this is a question for Mr. Lee. With that $8 million of appropriation, is that restricted? Is the rider language where that is for the contracts, or how much flexibility is there with that existing appropriation for the fiscal year that we're currently in?
Mr. Lee.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen, I would have to look at the rider language for that. As I recall, it was the same rider language, just a different source that the governor recommended in terms of funding the operation of MNLARS and essentially whatever's in the special revenue account for technology. That was the money that was based off of the former surcharge is what the appropriation could be used for.
Follow-up. Thanks, Mr. Chair. So the Sims question would be, with the existing appropriation, can the management at the state change or refocus with temporary assistance to help process or to cover unanticipated overtime costs with the existing appropriation, realizing that there's not new dollars coming in, but in the world we're in right now, we're not in session. I don't think we're going to be in session again, but you never know, until February 20th. Maybe. Never know. But for right now, if there's a flexibility with that existing appropriation to have costs covered or to make sure there are people there to process these things. I mean, if that's what the world we're in now, or, again, realizing if we come back into session, or when we come back into session on February 20th, to appropriate dollars either to cover the losses of the OT out of the vehicle technology account, or hopefully we're not still in this problem, but we may be in the real ID problem, to have appropriations to cover these costs. So that may mean turning back on the fee to replenish the account, but what can be done now? I mean, if there was assistance provided at the state level or to cover your local costs.
Mr. Lee, do you want to take a shot at that?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen, I will be looking at the rider language and beating back to the committee after I answer your question. I believe that the appropriation that the $8 million appropriation is just for essentially setting up and operating the MNLARS system. I think it may be a stretch to use that to reimburse deputy registrars or other entities out of that appropriation. I'll have to read the language, but and we would have to see how the agency would interpret that language, but I believe it is restricted to essentially building and operating MNLARS.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, yes.
It would seem there's two problems. One is the cost that the deputies are incurring right now to provide service that keeps rolling. And then there would be the cost at the state right now to facilitate getting this better, whatever that means. But if the language is restrictive under the current appropriation, our hands are tied until we come back into session. There is money in the reserve, but it's limited.
And Mr. Chair, if I may add to that, in addition to the technology appropriation and the small residual fee that DVS has available to it, it also has its base appropriation of about $32 million a year for vehicle transactions, in addition to the another about $30 million for driver's transactions.
Okay, thank you. A couple more questions. This may be for Ms. Potter. Can somebody drive in your lot and try to sell a car if they don't have a title? I'm getting a lot of people that are reaching out to me that they can't get a duplicate title. They want to sell their car. And what do they do?
We process duplicate titles. I think that the deputy registrars can probably speak to that better than I can. Our problem is with transferring of plates from one vehicle to another. The titles are being processed, but they are taking quite some time before they're being sent out.
Okay. And finally, too, the overtime has come up a number of times here, and this was one of the questions that I did get a chance to ask the department before today's meeting. We sent out a couple of questions prior to that, and they did address this, so maybe I'll just read this on their behalf. because they're not here today. And I asked the question, what is the department's plan or minutes plan or recommendations on addressing the extra overtime costs associated with this rollout to the deputy register offices? How and when will this be communicated to the businesses, the counties, the cities that actually own these places? And their answer was, the fees that deputy registers receive is limited by statute. Each office budgets accordingly to their needs. The change in process was communicated to the deputy registers over a year ago so they could evaluate their office budgets and make changes accordingly. So that's what we received from the department on that. So any other questions for our testifiers? Yes, Mr. Lee.
Mr. Chair and members, just with some help, looked up the rider language for the MNLAR's appropriation of $8 million a year. The language is relatively restrictive. It says this appropriation is for the operations and maintenance of the driver and vehicle information system known as the Minnesota Licensing and Registration System. That's it. And so it's a relatively restrictive just for operations and maintenance of the system.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the statement that you just read for us from Minute, and this may be a question either for you in the letter or for the deputy registrars, but was it communicated to the deputy registrars that they would be absorbing any overtime costs that would be associated with this rollout? Because I understand that the business model is changing or the software is changing, and they knew that they were on the hook for that. But was anything communicated to them about them absorbing costs due to a Minute failure?
That we would probably have to ask a deputy register or the office or an owner or something. We could have somebody come up later on if we want to, Mr. Nash.
I think I will.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate that. Next up, we have Michelle Driver. If she could approach the testimony table, please. And on deck is Mandy Ulstrich. She'll be on deck. So please introduce yourself for the record.
I am Michelle Driver. I'm the office manager and title clerk of North Star Truck Sales out of St. Cloud, Minnesota. We sell used commercial trucks, dump trucks, utility trucks, flatbeds. We have about 40 to 50 vehicles in inventory at any given time, and since this MNLAR system has started, I have transferred 42 titles up to the St. Cloud office, and I have not yet to receive a single title. So I have about probably half of those that customers are waiting on their titles because we haven't gotten a copy from the state of Minnesota. Prior to this MNLAR system, we would take it up to the state of, to the St. Cloud office and ask for the title to be expedited. When MNLAR started, we assumed, because nobody told us, that that service is no longer available. So when we brought it up there, they called us and said, this is not an option anymore. You can't do an expedited title. It's just going to have to go through the system as is, which is $20 cheaper, but most, I'd probably say about half of our customers are from out of state. So I am on my, I just sent out my third 31-day permit to a customer because I have not received their title back yet to be able to send to them and say, here's your title for the vehicle that you bought almost 90 days ago. That is very frustrating to us. It doesn't look good on us. I've gotten to the point now where as I'm sending out these permits, I'm sending them a letter. I'm sending them news stories to say, hey, this is not our issue. Hey, if you have an issue, please feel free to contact the state of Minnesota on our behalf to let them know that we're having these issues. I have been told by multiple sources, two deputy registers and the dealer's unit that I have been in contact with, that it is taking 40 days for these titles to be printed, which I know is baloney because I transferred that very first title on July 24th. It took them a couple days to process it because they were backlogged because the system was down, and it's been over 40 days. It's going to be closer to 60 here pretty quick. And nobody is giving us real answers as to how long this stuff is taking. I have an email from Minlar saying that on August 28th, hey, we're having some printing issues with the titles. We'll be getting those fixed soon, and we'll be able to start printing titles. Still haven't seen anything. If you look it up in the Minlar system, every single one of those titles right now tells me that it's been applied for and submitted. Not a single title have I been told that it's been issued or approved. That's my first frustration, the title transfers. My second frustration, which is almost just as bad, is when Minlar started, just like the deputy directors, they couldn't process certain types of plates. If it was a tax exempt, like a lot of our vehicles come from tax exempt organizations, cities or whatever, they couldn't transfer it from a tax exempt organization to Joe Blow, who needed it for his business or whatever the case may be. So we were told that we would have to send them down to St. Paul. Since August 10th, I have sent six plate applications down to the St. Paul office, because that's what I was told to do. The very first two plate applications that I have sent in, I still have not gotten those back yet. They tell me that they're in a pile in some office, in some room, and that everybody's on the lookout for them, but yet they can't produce these plates. They can't produce the plate application, even to just send it back to me to say, here, we'll just send this back to you, and maybe the deputy registers can now process this plate for you. Today, I am sending that first customer their fourth 21-day permit, because I haven't gotten the plate because the state of Minnesota, it's in a pile somewhere. They cannot go and look for it. All they've been telling me is that it's in one of the many piles. There's hundreds of applications there, and they can't look for it. But yet the other two, I've actually sent down six. Two of them they actually processed. Two of them they just sent back to me because the state of Minnesota, the St. Paul office, didn't have Y plates. So they had to send them back to me. They've had them for a month. They had to send them back to me so that I can send them to my regular deputy register and have her do it because she actually had Y plates. The first customer that I'm sending his fourth 21-day permit, about when his first 21-day permit was going to be up, he sent us the nastiest email because he thought, between the sales guy and me, that we were giving him the runaround because he wanted his plates, because he'd gotten pulled over once already. And luckily my boss just said, told him it's a state of Minnesota issue. We contacted the dealer's unit. Somebody down there was nice enough to call him and say, this is a state of Minnesota issue. This is not a North Star truck sales issue. But this looks really bad on us. And the fact that we have to send out letters to customers with their multiple 21-day permits, we've been given permission to do that, but we aren't supposed to be sending out third and fourth 21-day permits. It's making me really nervous that the two oldest plate applications, nobody can seem to tell me where these plate applications are, and that I have to bug them every week to say, where are they? What kind of process do they have that's saying, okay, they've got these piles, well, how are these plates organized so that a person can find them if they need to? They haven't done any of that. I've been talking to the one gal, and she just keeps saying, everybody's on the lookout for them. Everybody's on the lookout for them. So all I keep getting is a runaround. And it's frustrating to try and get plates to a customer that he bought a vehicle at the beginning of August, and nobody can give me an answer as to where this guy's plate application is. It's a basic plate. He doesn't need Y plates. He doesn't need anything. It's just a basic plate. But yet you guys can't process it. You can't even find it right now. That's what makes me nervous. I just sent you an original title, and with all the duplicate title issues that are going on, that's frustrating to me. Why can't I'm ready to go down to the St. Paul office and say, can I go in there and find my plate, please? Can I go down there and just find my plate? Because you guys aren't, you're not looking. You're not looking for it hard enough. I will go down there and look for it if I have to. Because this, to me, is, it's just the name. And as a dealership, we haven't been made aware of any type of Minlar's meetings, complaint meetings. We weren't made aware that, hey, we're taking away this fast track, for the fast track service. They didn't make us dealerships aware of any of these type of changes. And whatever changes that we get for emails as far as Minlar's is concerned, there's very, very generic as far as what they're going to be updating to the system. It's the same email week after week after week. It's not detailed at all. It's, hey, we're fixing this particular issue. Hey, we're fixing this particular issue. It's just very, very generic.
Thank you, Ms. Driver. Really appreciate that, and I'm very sorry.
Thank you.
I can feel your frustration. I'm a business owner myself, and when you can't physically get what you need from the state of Minnesota, when you need it really badly, it's an embarrassment to all of us, as was mentioned earlier. But I also want to make a comment, and then I'll go to Representative Riddle, is that if you can share on these 275 people have written to us, to I get this, and my assistant helps respond to all these. If you send that to me, I will send it directly to the director of DVS and make sure that they get on your situation right away. And I will tell you that when I have done that, they have been very quickly to act. The website for those that will be hearing this online is www.house.leg.state.mn.us/DMV/comment. So we need to make sure that folks around the state can let us know what some of those situations are, and we'll shoot it right to the top. And trust me, they do actually move quickly once they know you have our attention. And I think that's, again, one of the reasons why we're here today. So Representative Riddle has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I don't know if this is for you or maybe someone that knows the answer, but, you know, I've certainly dealt with, you know, registrars and with licensing for a long, long time, and everything seemed to be working just fine. Do you know what problem this is trying to fix, or does someone know what was trying to be rectified by this new system?
Ms. Driver.
That I do not know. I haven't been doing this very long, but just I started with North Star in May, and things were moving very, you know, smoothly. And then we were told that, you know, hey, Minlar's is going to actually be up and running in July. So we knew, obviously, yes, there's always going to be some kind of an issue, but we didn't anticipate the issues that we've been dealing with, and we're still trying to decide, how do we deal with these titles right now? Are we better off, you know, doing an assignment and not running it practically through the system and giving them the original title so that they can walk away with an actual title in hand? It's frustrating to us that this system is running. I mean, so many people are saying, we want to go back to the old system, you know, or why weren't they doing a dual system like somebody else talked about earlier? Why couldn't they do both of those to make sure that whatever bugs needed to be worked out before it just went completely live?
And I think maybe Representative Nash has a update for that as well. Maybe you can answer that question for Representative Riddle.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Riddle, you know I'm in technology, and the older system was old, and it was run on machines that were being made in the 1980s, and the technology was not able to be stored in the cloud, and it had some functionalities that were deficient, and from an IT maturation perspective, it just wasn't there. So the idea of Minlars is good. It's the execution that has been abysmal. And, technology advances and you have to adapt with it, but this hasn't been successful on any of those fronts.
Thank you. You brought this up, and I will bring up the next testifier. Again, one of my questions I had asked to the department was on the expedited services. So my question was, why is the expedited process for the deputy registrars not available any longer? Their answer was, reasons why we did not release the expedited titles. Number one, Minlars will be more efficient than the old system, reducing the need for expedited titles. Number two, customers have a need to receive their title within 3 days have the ability to apply for the title through DBS. Number three, the expedited process was initially intended for emergency situations, but became sort of a standard process at many deputy register offices and dealerships at an additional cost to the customer. And number four, it would have required significant programming time to develop an expedited title process for a relatively small portion of the titles processed. And finally, DBS is having DRs, deputy registers, send in transactions now by size, not by transaction. I'm not sure what that means, but maybe somebody can explain that. DBS staff then has to wait for all the work to be scanned into Minlars and then be able to view it before DBS can expedite it. If a check is sent into DBS for a specific transaction to expedite it that is actually down at DBS, the check will be held up for 3 days and then returned to the customer or the dealer. DRs are entering these transactions and scanning them anyway. So why can't we do it faster for our citizens? Customers, their answer, the customers who needed expedited services can send the transactions directly to DBS. I don't know what that just meant, but it sounds like they did say that this feature will be included in a future release. So I just wanted to make sure that I gave them the opportunity to share with them what that was. So thank you, Ms. Driver, for your testimony today. All right. Mandy is up. And then after Mandy, we have Don Barber on deck. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
Please introduce yourself for the record.
Mandy Astrake.
Astrake, thank you.
Yes. I am with Rolex Vans in Savage. We are a manufacturer dealer of handicap accessible vehicles. We are the only manufacturer of these types of vehicles in the state. However, we are not the only ones who sell them. Our biggest problem kind of goes back to the lady with the truck dealership, transfer of specialty plates. My specialty plates are a little bit more serious. My customers need disability plates. They need to go to work. They need to go to school. They need to get their children to school. They need to go grocery shopping. They need to park close enough to the door to get there. And right now they can't. So I approached the state of Minnesota multiple times and asked, what am I supposed to do? I can't transfer handicap plates. Put them on the vehicle and give them another 21-day permit. That's what you get. Put the plates that they want to transfer on and just keep giving them 21-day permits. I'm in the same position. I'm 4 and 5 21-day permits now. And our customers are furious. And why wouldn't they be? I have veterans. 50% of our business are disabled veterans. State of Minnesota veterans for our country, veterans for the state of Minnesota that can't get to the VA close enough to be able to get into the doctors to take care of what they need to do. It's not so much, I mean, don't get me wrong. I have all of the other issues that all the other dealers do. I have people that get regular plates too. I'm not getting the titles that I need to get. The promise of you won't need an expedited title because the system's going to be so fast. I can understand that, but this is one issue that even through, I did look at the last hearing. I looked it up and I kind of watched it for a while and listened. And this is something that not enough people are talking about. Specialty plates are more than just, I love my car plates. Specialty plates are something that a lot of Minnesotans need to have in order to do the things that they need to do every single day. So as far as I'm concerned, that's a massive priority for the state. And the rollout that they gave, that wonderful little rollout, I can see that disability moped plates are coming. That's great. But where's the rollout to give us disability plate transfers? Even a 60-day permit, if you have a customer who comes in and they're applying for a new handicap plate, they're already having to wait 60 days to be able to park in a handicap spot because those 60-day permits don't have a handicap emblem on them. The state is looking at ADA issues if they don't get this taken care of. And that's reality. It just is. It's really that important. If a customer goes in and applies for a hang tag, which you can get if you're 6 months pregnant and can't walk very far, you walk out of the DMV with a little certificate that says you can now go to the store and park close and go get what you need. But if you apply for a disability plate, here's a 60-day permit, just like the guy who wants the I Love My Car plates, and you're going to wait for another 60 days. That's been an issue. But for the ones who already have those plates and need those plates, they're not getting them, and we need to get this fixed.
Thank you for testimony. It was well said, and I'm glad it was on recorded audio so we can make sure the department hears that about that. That did not come up, I don't think, on the September 11th meeting regarding the handicap plates and those. So thank you for articulating that for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Am I good?
Yep, you're all set.
Thank you.
You were good.
Ms. Barber, is she here? And then, Bruce, you are on deck. We got a couple more to go here, and then we'll call it a day. So welcome. Please introduce yourself to the committee, please.
Okay, Mr. Chair and committee members, thank you for this time to be able to come and share some of the issues. My name is Dawn Barber.
Could you move the mic closer to you, but be careful.
Does this help?
Move the mic.
would you?
Yeah, don't let him know.
I'm Dawn Barber. My husband Don and I own Don's Auto out of Bruton, Minnesota. We've been doing salvage title vehicles for 30 years. And so our issues are just a little bit different than some of the other ones, although what I was going to say actually has almost all been said. But I did have a little bit of a different twist on it because as a salvage title vehicle, we are required by the state of Minnesota, when we get an out-of-state title, which most of ours are bought out-of-state, when they come into Minnesota, most dealers can just reassign them. But salvage, they require you to go and apply for a Minnesota title. On August 22nd, I applied for numerous Minnesota titles with my out-of-state titles. They have yet to been processed. I checked again this morning. They haven't been processed. Six of them have been sold. So I went in to do a conditional transfer, which is required if you don't have the Minnesota title. The system will not take my conditional transfers. So now I can't buy plates or transfer them into their names, which, like other people have mentioned, it becomes an issue with the banks. It becomes an issue with the insurance companies. I mean, if somebody was in an accident, they haven't even had it transferred into their name yet. One of them that I'm dealing with on one of those conditionals is he's a fireman and he wanted his firefighter plates transferred from his old vehicle to his new vehicle, which you used to be able to do, and they will not allow that right now. So he's going to have to drive his vehicle on a permit, which I would think a firefighter would need to have that plate if he's on his way to a fire to notify other people that he's in a rush, not just a yellow permit in the back window. So that would be another issue. I guess, like I said, most everything I was going to say has already been said, so I won't take up much more time on that. But I do appreciate the fact that somebody's taken an interest in this and not just saying, oh, well, it's somebody else's problem or it'll work itself out, because it's not working. And I guess that's all I really have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Barber. Appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Bruce is up next, another dealer in the Wilmer area, and Lindsay Stroberg is on deck. Welcome, Bruce.
Chairman Baker.
Please say your name for the record.
Members of this committee. I was down in St. Paul and and testified 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks, whatever it was. I've written numerous letters to Representative Baker, as also our Senator Wang. I'm a very
Bruce,
small...
could you say your name for the record again, please?
My name is Bruce Vruwink. I'm a very small dealer in located here in Wilmer. I buy and sell some very late model vehicles. I had some I bought, I know, 90 days ago, hadn't seen any paperwork. I used to expedite them all the time, and that worked just fine. I could have a title in hand inside of a week and would sell. My buyers demand titles. There is no question. There are no questions asked. Without a title, I don't get funded. Without funds, I pay interest at the bank. I'm convinced these people in St. Paul have no comprehension of that. No comprehension whatsoever. I got an email here from the last buyer I delivered last week. I need copies of the title sent to me as business information so I can have a check cut. That's the only way they function. Like I said, I was here down to the Capitol 2 weeks ago, and I can attest to the fact that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Within a couple days of that meeting, I had letters from, or not letters, literally phone calls from number one and number two down there. You can probably help me. Linda Maples and Dawn somebody both personally called me. Linda Maples had her Tom Henderson, her number one man, talk to me, tell me how to do it, and all this. They denied that you could expedite titles, but we can expedite titles if you do it this way. Here's the name, the address, and all this, and you put all this on it and so on and send it down there. I had my dealer do that. I just bought an additional couple vehicles, gave the information to the dealer. What do you suppose he got? He got a phone call 2 days later saying, we need to have justification why Mr. Vruwink wants these titles expedited. When do I have to give justification to anybody when it's a service that they're going to provide? It just doesn't make sense. I was in the deputy registrar the other day transferring a title that finally came after 2 months. Now you go in there and they make a liar out of you. You've documented, you got documents showing when you sold it and all this kind of stuff, miles at this date of sale and so on and so forth. And they got to go back and change the dates and everything so it can chronologically fall in order to fit their system. I mean, it isn't right. But anyway, I guess that's my frustration.
Thank you. Thank you, Bruce, for sharing that again. I really do appreciate that. Lindsay, if you could please come forward. Lindsay Strobert, please introduce yourself and welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Lindsay Strobert. I'm a supervisor of Litchfield Licensing. Our DMV location recently opened back in November 2016. On July 24th, when the new Millar system was released, our location was not recognized in the new system as a business. From July 24th through the 28th, we were unable to assist any customers with tap renewals and title transfers. We sent away well over 100 customers that week, and our several car dealerships and local businesses we work with had to wait till the liaisons can figure out what's wrong with our office. My bosses and I were calling and emailing the Minnesota business liaisons every day, trying to get our office's issues corrected. When we were in the process of opening this new office, the liaisons gave us a new deputy ID number. We noticed when Minlar's launched that our ID number was incorrect. We told the liaisons of this issue, and we got two responses: that should not matter, or let me get back to you. And we were never heard a response back. Ramona Stolberg, my boss and mother, contacted the head of DVS and the Minnesota commissioner on July 28th, and finally our issues were resolved. On July 30th, we were able to open for business as usual, or so we thought. We were quick to find out all the errors and glitches the other Minnesota DMVs were experiencing. For a while, we weren't able to assist any local farmers getting tabs for their farm vehicles. Anything that had a weighted sticker seemed to be glitching with the system and several other problems. Luckily, these couple issues were resolved, but sometimes these errors keep popping up. I have screenshots of the errors that were popping up in the system. If you guys want to take a look at it.
Sure. Ashley can come around and maybe pick those up for me and we can pass them out. So you can just leave them there for now.
Okay. Sounds good. I just want to notify the first error that's on the top of the pile. It was two transactions from two different customers that were done on August 8th. At the time, my coworker was trying to cancel the cart. And for some odd reason, the system glitched at that point right around 10:30. It looks like the timestamp is on it. Two different customers were put in the same cart by accident. My coworker tried to delete it. The system glitched at that point. So each customer's transaction was put on twice. And even though the cart says canceled, the transaction still went through. And it says amount paid was $744, which it was not. That is the incorrect amount. And we still haven't heard back on how that's going to be handled. And we had to close out the report and pay the incorrect amount to the state. There you go. So, you know, all these errors that keep popping up. And liaisons are so swamped with other Minnesota DMVs like our office trying to fix our issues. You'll maybe not, several days later get an email response on how the issue is going to get fixed. A few more issues our office is personally running into is the new system is adding $1 to registration tax, and you don't find this out until you're at the cart and about to close it out. We cannot order duplicate titles like the way we did for previous car dealerships. We have to put it as a temporary mailing address for the dealer. And then also, sometimes with tavern rolls, I've noticed a pattern. If they're getting a new plate, the correct sticker that it's on, but they're just getting tabs for that vehicle. The system makes it look like the customer ordered those tabs online or mailed it in, and they get mailed free tabs then for their vehicle, even though they paid for the tabs we give them in our office. I have in hand one of the stickers that the customers returned, and they did pay for the stickers. They checked their bank account. They weren't charged for these stickers that were mailed to them. And then we were told by one of the liaisons, Jason, to fax any stickers that the customers return and keep them in our office, and we still haven't heard how this issue is being resolved. And I haven't been kept track, and I was just notified about this meeting this morning, so I really wish I had more numbers. But I just have a few examples of the stickers that were returned to our office. And these are only a handful of the few honest people that have come in and returned these stickers. Before the new Minlars, it took our two office locations, Cocada licensing and Litchfield licensing, to assist customers at the most less than 10 minutes. Now with the new system, it can range anywhere from between 15 to 20 minutes and a little over a half hour just to assist one customer. With our offices combined, we assist over 20 different car dealerships. Before the new system, we were able to get our car dealer work completed, assist customers, and be closed at 5 p.m. Now my coworkers and I are working overtime just to get our jobs accomplished. Cost of doing business has gone up, but our filing fees have stayed the same. I hope everything I've told you today have made a better picture on how it is working in Minnesota DMV at this time. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much, Ms. Stroberg. And Representative Riddle.
Thank you, Representative Baker. And Ms. Stroberg, first of all, thank you for coming in on short notice. I talked to her about 8:30 this morning. And I'm, sorry for the frustration that I know you and your office are going through. I've, stopped in several times this summer and, certainly been made aware of the problems you've been having. And, it's unfortunate that the state has basically made it harder for you to do your job. And, hopefully through what we're hearing here today, more of this will be addressed and, in the near future, we'll have a smooth operation. At least that's our hope.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Representative Becker Finn, please.
Chair Baker, this isn't necessarily for the testifier, but just hopefully someone here at the table can answer this. So it sounds like a lot of the testifiers today are the some of the same that were at the first Minlars hearing with Chair Torkelson in the transportation finance hearing. I'm not on that committee, so I wasn't privy to that testimony. I've listened to some of it afterwards, but for those that were maybe at both, other than DPS and Minute, was there any significant testimony, hitting on areas that we haven't heard today at this second hearing that was touched on at the first one?
At the first meeting, we also had an high overview of the legislative auditor was there to give an outlook about their initial look at this system, but it was not at all about deployment or anything like that. And I think what I remember a couple weeks ago, and Chair Torkelson might want to comment, is that I heard a lot of things from the agency then that were similar to what the complaints were today, but that they were so close to getting them fixed that this should be fine in no time. I don't think we heard anything about disability plates and the need for these customized plates, because sometimes I think of that as being what was used to think then was vanity plates. And I think you sometimes just don't give those maybe the attention they deserve, but in this case, that's a much higher level for me today. So I think that's part of what we heard differently then as well, Representative Becker.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to make sure, for those who maybe are at this hearing and weren't at the first one, if they missed anything significant, but I know your staff had put the copy of the auditor's report
absolutely.
In our packet, so thank you.
Well, thank you, Chair Baker. I would just add that, of course, we had an extensive presentation from the department, and we were hoping that we'd get some updates on that today.
Thank you. All right, thank you. Great job.
Thank you.
Mr. Pat Walsh is up next, and then our final testimony today will be from Lonnie Apol. Unless anybody else wants to sign up, let Ashley know. We're getting close to the end, so again, thank you all. And Mr. Walsh, welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much.
The town of Atwater.
Chairman Baker, yes, sir. You drove right through, and they'll drive right through on your way back. If you take Highway 12, that is.
He's guys do.
Committee, I want to thank you for coming out to the God's country to listen to us. Oftentimes we always have to travel to the cities and get anything done, and it's nice when you come out to our place. I have some way different things. I'm a Ford dealer in Atwater, a little tiny one. And I have some different perspectives. We all have the same troubles with what you've already heard, but I tried to organize this a little bit. We much enjoy doing business with our local registrar. We've always done it. We've never done it through our dealership where we issued plates when we had that, because we like these people, and they do a good job. They help us when we have an issue, so we want them there. Consequently, we used to have a system, this my office manager told me to bring this up, where we could do record lookups. One of the people talked about the transaction lookups. We could, in a perfect world, a husband and wife or a mother and a daughter, whoever the car's titled to, would come in and have their title and know who the car's registered to, and we could make a smooth transaction. However, it's not like that all the time. Once in a while, we'll have to look up, who's this car belong to? Does it belong to Mr. and Mrs.? Does it belong to, mother and daughter? Is it in the company name? Is the company name in the owner's name? And we no longer have the ability to look that up. So what's that have to do? We have to call the registrar, which, as you know, they're really busy as it is right now trying to get their work done, and bother them. We always could do that on ourselves or by ourselves, and we hope that they will restore that capability. I really, believe me, it would be awesome. We used to be able to, people come in, and they say we never got our notice of registration in the mail. We could print them a pre-bill, or we could print one for our used car. And now we can't do that anymore, at least not as of yet. Let's see. Point four. Okay, now this is one I've always wanted an opportunity to talk about when I wasn't having a refreshment with my friends or something like that. I always wanted to tell you guys this. We collect, in a car dealership, we collect fees for Minlars. We've collected their tech fee to pay for their computer system, and then they don't help me do mine. We fund the registrars. We buy state patrol vehicles. We collect the fees, the $350 for every SPV fee. We collect the wheelage tax for the county to build our own roads, which was a bad idea to give the counties that power. So how about us? In my little car dealership, my estimation is last year we collected $495,000 in sales tax for the state of Minnesota, for which we got paid nothing. We would get penalized if we didn't get it remitted in time, but my suggestion or my proposal is, how about all the merchants in Minnesota, I'm not just talking about car dealers, pay us what we do for you. We collect your tax. You have your own State Department of Taxation that collects your sales, your income taxes, and so forth. How about paying 50 cents for every 100 bucks we get for you guys? In my little place, we collected almost $500,000 for you. We'd get $2,400 just to keep track of it and remitting the sales tax. So I always want to bring that up. But the other thing, if you look in your own progress report, now think about this. Think of the new Viking Stadium. Think of a newly built hospital with an ER room. Think of a restaurant, and you're getting ready to open up. It's a brand new deal. And you, admittedly, the system by design, did not have all the functionality to launch. Are you kidding me? Who would launch something with intentionally not having it ready to go? So what would happen in business if that went on? Somebody get fired, right? And I would certainly hope that there's some thoughts along that lines. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Really appreciate your testimony. Does anyone ask a question now, or should we do one? Lonnie, come on up, sir.
Hello.
It's great to have you here.
Hello, my name is Lonnie A. Paul. We have Harley-Davidson dealerships in Raymond, just down the road, and in Alexandria. Hearing about this, I got asked, why don't you come along? And so I did. I appreciate you hearing us out. I've already talked to one representative a little bit about this, Bill Ingebrigtsen, and I don't see a lot of problem personally in doing business, okay? Yeah, we got to hold some inventory because you guys don't give us titles. Not the biggest deal. My heart goes out to the DMVs, I tell you. This past week, in Alexandria, when I bring them in, I drop them off. They call me when they're done, and I go back and pick them up. I only had a couple of them this week, so I stood and watched her do it. I couldn't believe what I saw. I couldn't believe it. You know, we have a computer system. Our last one that came in ended in the code word ES for Enterprise Solutions, and we just called it Extra Steps. This is Extra Steps times 1,000. The time it takes for them to do their job over what they used to do is unacceptable. And I want to say that down because I do appreciate everything that they do. I have examples, and it's a lot of the same stuff. Unable to transfer special plates on this or at this time. And there's information for you can research it so you know what we're talking about, because I always believe in examples. Needed a new plate and tab. Previous one was a vet plate. For some reason, DMV can't transfer title to the new customer. So he's not even getting title. Got a new plate and tab, but unable to transfer title. You can have that one. Traded in on 921. Customer has traded it in with no title. Still waiting to get from customer. Has not gotten from the state of Minnesota a duplicate title that was paid July 7th, 2017. Now, being a businessman, that's unacceptable in my business. I lose customers over that kind of stuff. And if it was my fault, I'd justify every bit of it. But like a lot of us, we have no control over this. We're at your mercy. I just told Mark back there, I said, you know, I don't know who came up with this system. It's been in 8 years, an $80 million project. There's 49 states out there. Let's say half of them have functional systems. Why didn't we go ask someone what they're doing and take theirs? You know, this is absolutely ridiculous that we have to have hearings about something that should have been rolled out working. You know, and we signed up for a program. It's not working. I cut the strings. That's it. Why dig a deeper hole? And that's what's going on here. $80 million and it's still not going. It's time to cut something off and move on to something else. So, we'd like to be able to, and I found out I could up in Alexandria this week, because renewals are sent out so late, in the motorcycle business, you don't think about it a lot. So, over winter, they get sent out or printed in October, I think. They get sent out in November, December. They get put in the thing. People start riding, forgot to buy their tabs. Just let us buy them ahead of schedule. You know, I was able to pick up some 19s on stuff because they're never going to get a renewal printed because it takes 8 to 12 weeks to get a title, which hasn't changed in 30 years. yeah, my dad used to complain to Dean Johnson about that one. But just let us do our job and take care of our customers so they don't get in trouble and not even realize they're breaking the law. Lien card turnaround is unacceptable. Banks call us going, where's the lien release? You guys are supposed to guarantee a lien release to us. Where is it? It's in Minnesota. And it used to be, and we got this change, but sometimes they send nasty letters to the people with the loan saying you guys are going to have some ramifications if you don't get us proof of lien. And it's like they're an innocent bystander. And another one that does affect us, and it's all in the liability world, is the states around us, if it's been a salvage recovery and inspected, Minnesota will give a clean title. When it goes to North Dakota, it gets a dirty title. When it goes to Canada, they won't even let it in. So I would like to see if it's been dirty, just let us know it's always been dirty instead of get it cleaned up. Because it does affect our customers or customers down the road that didn't realize buying private party vehicles. So thank you.
Lonnie, thank you. Ms. Jensen, do you want to come forward? Also, Representative Nash has a question, and I think and maybe you can answer this, but maybe you want to make a statement as well. But this will be our last testimony of the day. Representative Nash, do you have a question now, or do you want to wait for her to speak?
Mr. Chair, let's wait. Let her do her testimony, okay. And we'll do the follow-up question.
Great. Welcome. Please introduce yourself.
My name is Suzanne Jensen. I'm the Minnesota Deputy Registrars Association's president currently, and I just wanted to do the follow-up. You asked about whether we were forewarned about the overtime, and we were told that we need to look at our office, maybe do some reconfiguration as far as the workflow, but it was always with the premise that it would be quicker, faster. Probably the back-end people that we would have on staff would come to the front, and that would actually eliminate a position. You'd have more for the front. Well, and that hasn't been the way it has turned out, of course. I am from Brown County. I've done it for 26 years, and I have never, ever claimed comp time or overtime ever. And since July 24th, I'm up as high as Wilmer is for one person. So, and that's going to be a cost to our county, to our taxpayers. And I, too, am looking at adding staff, moving someone to full-time. That's benefits. And then another part-time if my county commissioners will agree. But we can't get the work done. I mean, there's not enough hours in the day. So that's what I wanted to address.
Thank you. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And you read my mind. In conversations with several deputy registrars over the last couple of weeks, and indeed on the way here today, I spoke to the deputy registrar in Waconia, and she's incurring lots of overtime, as are many. And I spoke to two of my county commissioners in Carver and the county administrator, and this is what was communicated to them. Things are going to work better. Everything will be wonderful. Bluebirds and sunshine. The costs that are associated with overtime for the private business owner is coming out of their pocket. The cost associated with overtime for counties is going to be assessed to the levy. And I think that's a very important thing that we haven't addressed, I think, in as much detail as needs to be. The taxpayer is going to pay for the Minlar's software to begin with, and now the taxpayer is going to be paying for its inefficiencies as a result of overtime. And that's just staggering. So I work in IT, and many of you heard me say this. No one forgets a bad launch, ever. And for you dealers who are dealing with the reputational issues My apologies. I think I speak for everybody here. Our sincerest apologies. This is a disaster. You are in a reputation business, and this is really, really bad for business. But as it relates to the overtime, that was never communicated to you at all, that you would be assuming that yourself.
Representative Baker and members, there was no way for me as a supervisor to be able to plan for what occurred. There was no way that I could have planned for the extra time and staff that this system was going to take.
So, Mr. Chair,
Representative Nash,
if we could communicate that back to the department, that the deputy registrar is here in the room and the president of the association doesn't remember any of that, if we could maybe gently point that out to them, that was not communicated to them indeed.
Yep, that's a great idea.
Representative Baker, yes. Could I just also mention that when you talk about the costs, you're going to look at offices closing and less services. The more staff you add, the more time it takes, your bottom line comes out to be less and less, and eventually the cities, the counties, individuals will just say it's worth it.
I know a comment that was made to me by the commissioner of Minute, Commissioner Baden, had said in a separate meeting earlier with Representative Nash was there, and others, I think, but they were seeing the more of the work is being done on the front end at the counter, and much less will be done in St. Paul. Now, if that is truly the case, then I think it's our job as legislators to make sure the revenue is split accordingly down the road. And I will tell you that I think our committees are going to be looking at that coming forward with your deputy associations so that we make sure that the money is going where it should be. We don't want to see the fees go up one penny. Let's find saving. Let's see them go down, but let's make sure that we are compensating the people who are doing all the work, because right now it is not going well. It is truly still full of major glitches. And again, the goal is to get it fixed. Again, we know we can't go back to the old system now because it would take too long to reload everything up. We know we have to keep moving forward, and we want to keep that attitude that way. I just want to maybe read one final comment here from this is actually from a DBS employee who wrote into this committee. And this is interesting, and I think we'll end on this unless somebody else has anything else too. But, and members, again, if you want to turn in a per diem report, let me know. We've got some copies here. And I also want to thank everybody for taking the time to come out to Willmar to listen to folks in rural Minnesota, to hear the concerns of what we are hearing all around the state of Minnesota. And again, these folks traveled all the way out here for a change. It's kind of nice having them come out here. And so, but to everybody who came today, thank you for taking so much time again away from your day. Because I know for you, deputy registrars especially, you're taking away time in your office to do this, and you're already further behind. But this is just from a DBS employee who wrote into our website actually this morning. DBS employees who care about their jobs are sad and angry. People are actually crying at their desks because they are so overwhelmed and unable to do many basic functions. Upper management just says how sad, but does nothing to support or move us in the right direction. Now, mandatorily, overtime is the solution. All the hours in a week aren't enough for this broken system. Just more hours to tell people we can't help them. It's pathetic. Employees really need some mental health assistance here. Where is the assistance that was promised with the Minlars? Training was a couple of meetings, and at the end-to-end testing only picked up in the middle. We begged them to delay it until a slower time of the year and tested it at one or two of the offices. Didn't happen. Our staff was ignored. Now, this is somebody who actually is inside, and they're sharing enough of this. I don't have a name. But these are people that are frustrated that actually helped build the program. So we will get to the bottom of this at some point. Right now, the focus is to get it fixed so that we can actually have you folks do your job in your offices like you've been doing for decades. For that, I guess I just want to thank everybody for coming today. It's been a huge thing for us in our area. I will promise you that the departments will have all this audio and our notes, and they will get a phone call from me tomorrow morning just to give an update as to what this was. But again, with that, ladies and gentlemen, this meeting is adjourned.